Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
RPG Super Mario RPG. Lord of playing a game. やったことない人も
OK!
マリオと旅に出よう。ドラマを作ろう。
Lord of playing a game.
やり尽くした人も
Come on!
満足させます。
マリオです。 Oh yeah!
スーパーファミコンソフト、
スーパーマリオ RPG。
4,000円安くなるクーポン券付き。
I call something about Luigi there at the end. There's my hero. He's your best friend. Like Mythico. It's Mario.
Hey everybody, welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro, your favorite retro video game podcast. Oh. And I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And are you ready for the single best representation of Bowser in the history of Nintendo? Yes, well, then that's great, because that's what we have here. It's time to save the princess yet again, but let's do it in 3/4 view this time. Let's do it from a top-down view and take turns bonking each other's heads. Someone needs to take out the Smithy gang. Later, we can go to Monstro Town and eat mushrooms.
Can we do that? Do we have to do it in that order? Just all right, and order. I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think Mom rented me the wrong Mario from Blockbuster. Where are the platforms, Mom? Where are the warp pipes, Mom? Where are the woohoos, Mother? I need the woohoos, Mother. Fine. I'll try it. See, Mom, this is dumb. I jumped on this Goomba's head, and now they're three. Just like I said, wait. Is that Bowser on the first level? I love you, Mom. Now get out of here. Let me RPG. Out!
Get out of my room, Mom.
Out, Mother.
It's private sun time in here. Get out. Hello, everybody. We are going to talk about the classic Super Mario RPG made by Square Entertainment in conjunction with Nintendo for the 1996 release on the Super Nintendo platform. And we will talk all about it because it also just got a modern remake and everybody loves it.
Yes.
But did they ever play the original? I don't think so. Well, some did. I don't want to say
I think a lot didn't, but that's okay. I don't think it happened. I liked when they did Link's Awakening a few years back. I played that all the way through, and I had never played it before I had played the remake, and I'm pretty excited about this remake because I never really played Mario RPG until this week.
I can't wait to get my hands on it and give it a shot. I've not played it yet, but I have beaten this game that we're going to talk about today twice and a half. I beat it back in the day in the 90s. I beat it again a few years ago, not that many years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Emulated it and a little bit of time now that I'm sort of in a new playthrough, and I know you've been playing it as well. So we'll get to all those details. We'll talk about all the reasons why you should play it, even the old one. If you're not going to get the new one, still maybe spend some time with the old one if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah, if you got the SNES mini console that I had gotten, the classic, it's right on there, man. Loaded it right up.
Yep.
Played the crap out of it.
Yep, it's there. It's there for you. You're there for it. What's to stop this marriage? Nothing. So get in there and get it done. We'll talk about all that in a minute. Before that, our week in retro gaming. I have been doing a thing. It's not even about gaming necessarily, except the music happens to be 8 and 16-bit chiptune music, putting me to sleep at night. Don't know why this is working, but I've been having a little hard time just like nodding off. Brain's a little too firing all night. Just kind of too much going on. So I lay down and I'm like, what kind of music am I in the mood for? So I fire up a 10-hour collection of 8 to 16-bit chiptune stuff of various kinds. Not even relaxing stuff. Some of it's pretty jaunty. And for whatever reason, it's Kind of. It is a lot like that. And it's knocking me out. It's making me go to sleep. And I don't know what that's about. So I just want to put it out there. Try it if you haven't. It might work for you.
It feels like you've gone home after being gone for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's like those Christmas commercials every year that tug at our heartstrings when the soldiers return home for a Christmas break. You know, and they come in and they make the Folgers coffee and mom and dad come. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe Steve's home. You know, and that's how good you're sleeping, right?
It's always Steve, by the way.
8 and 16-bit. What's that?
It's always Steve. It's a guy named Steve. Why is there always a guy named Steve coming home from the war or whatever he's coming home from?
I don't know. Thank God Steve made it.
Yeah.
I know many Steves.
I know a lot of Steves, too. In fact, half of my family confuses me with a Steve who's a brother-in-law in my family. And he gets called Scott all the time. So we are constantly exchanging wrong names. God.
This was all the same.
I know. It's kind of similar, I suppose.
As long as you sneak into my house while I'm sleeping and I think you're away at war and I wake up to smelling coffee and I totally don't freak out. Whatever. Mm. Sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Why not? Hey, I understand you've been messing with the Yuzu emulator on your Steam Deck, and I'm very curious how that's going because I'm about to plunge into that whole nightmare and I'm nervous. I'm nervous because it sounds like you may have not had as much success as you wanted. I don't know. So how's it going?
Right. Okay, so here it is. So Yuzu is an emulator of one for playing the Switch games.
It's the one most people are familiar with.
The one most people have. Yeah. And there is a lot of people working on a lot of different pieces to this total package. And oh man, it's not easy. So out of all the emulation stuff, and you may ask why, okay, why, Brian? Why would you want to play Switch games when you have a very capable Switch sitting right behind you? Why would you want to do this to your Steam Deck? Because I like my Steam Deck better. I mean, and Scott said he's got an OLED, and if he comes back and tells me how awesome it is, do I then purchase a Steam Deck OLED, or do I continue with the Switch and get the OLED version of that? I just want to play some Nintendo games on Steam Deck. And let me just say this, Nintendo, I understand. I don't expect you to jump through hoops and provide your software for any platform anywhere. I get it. It's not worth your investment. But just, you know, settle down. I'll look over at you. Flash the peace sign like Mario. Mm. Hey, man, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Mm-hmm. All the games that I am dumping ROMs for is stuff already on my system, man.
You already own it. It's already good. Yeah.
All I want to do is in my house, play it somewhere else. I'm good. You're good. Let's be good to one another.
Yeah,
so
that's what I've been doing. So we all bought a Switch. We all own a Switch. It's not like we don't own the damn thing. So it's fine.
But it's complicated, and if you've ever done any of the if you've ever done any hacking on like the Wii U or the Wii or anything, it's not that dissimilar from that. But there are a few extra steps. You have to essentially load up a virtual Switch operating system onto an SD card. Use a reboot, like kind of like an Android safe mode kind of reboot, where you go into this safe mode to boot, and then you boot from the SD card. Running a virtualized OS of the Switch. And then at that point in time, you can start. You're just doing a soft temporary mod, because as soon as you turn it off, you get out of all that mode and nothing's loaded up. It just loads up like regular.
Yeah.
What you have to be careful of, though, is if you have to make sure you turn the Wi-Fi off on the main side, because it uses that main side snapshot, including your Wi-Fi information, to build this. And so what happens is, if you don't do that beforehand, you get banned from the Nintendo store. Understand, Nintendo, I get it. You got to watch out for cheaters. You got to watch out for people, you know, messing with their system, right? Yeah, yeah. You can't allow it.
Right.
It's good. Once again, peace sign Mario. Hey, man.
They load up.
If players just trying to play.
But in theory, you could load up Yuzu and have access to the Nintendo store if Nintendo let you. You could like.
So what happens is, when you do this, you also put in a DNS host file that basically gets rid of all the Nintendo stuff. So like, if you go and you download a game off the store and you have it on your system, from my understanding, you may be able to run it.
Okay.
Now, all the ones that I've been messing with, I have carts. So I haven't gotten to the actual, hey, can you rip things off you bought the virtual store? I haven't got that far yet. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Somebody, I'm sure, is going, oh, no, you can't. Or, yes, you can. I don't know.
Even know if you'll go there. Who knows? You know,
I don't even know if I'll go there. But like I said, my main thing is I would love to play this new Mario RPG. I would love to get a physical copy, put it on my Switch, make a copy of it so I can put it on my Steam Deck so that I don't have, because I don't have as many games on my Switch as I have on my Steam Deck. So I'm much more likely to have my Steam Deck with me and I'm much more likely to be playing it. So if the Yuzu virtual emulation stuff works well enough, I'm going to be very happy. I'm going to be a happy dude.
Here to say, too, that the Steam Deck OLED 1 terabyte device.
Yes.
It's very nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I like it a lot. That screen is glorious.
Like I said, I would be excited about getting the Switch OLED. Once again, my Switch is something that I don't play every week.
Yeah.
It's like I'll buy a title. And then I'll play it for like a month or two, and then I'll put it away, and I won't mess with it again for a couple of months, four or 5 months sometimes. So
I haven't charged my Switch in a bit. I probably should do that. But I just have the regular old Switch Lite. It's fine.
Oh,
I like it fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I got original. That's one of the things, too. You got to have a certain version of the Switch, too. It can't be after a certain point. Otherwise, you have to jump through more hoops because you can't inject things. Mm-hmm. But still possible. You just can't do it in the same method. So. Yeah, anybody out there just looking at difficulty level for doing the soft mod on the Switch is pretty high. You gotta have a pretty good bit of knowledge to be able to do that. They have some follow-throughs and some guides and stuff, but there's a lot of you gotta do this first, and if this doesn't work, you gotta do that. And
there's hoop jumping, you know?
Hoops.
Like Mario himself might do. Anyway, we'll find out more as we go on. For now, though, let's get into it.
Shall we play a game?
Sure, we shall. We're going to play Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This game came out in 1996, as we mentioned earlier. It sounded a little like this. Isn't that lovely? But then things get crazy, like this. Just hearing this again makes me happy. And I do think I prefer the 16-bit sound of it all because, I mean, obviously we're talking about retro games and that's what we like.
I was very glad to see then in the new release, the remaster, that you could choose, not in-game, but not in battles. You cannot choose your music in battles, but outside of battles, you can choose to go with the retro sound.
That is correct. So pretty cool. Which is a little weird that you couldn't do it overall, but...
Yeah, I know. I guess maybe some kind of pacing or something. I don't know. I guess reasons. Yeah. I suppose.
But this game, which I'm now showing to the chat room on video. If you're not here live, we also show a lot of what we talk about while we do the live version of the show, which we do most Fridays at 2:30 p.m. in the Mountain Time afternoon.
the Mountain Time.
The gameplay, sort of circles around the idea that. Mario's got to go find Princess Peach. Excuse me, Toadstool again.
We're not Peach yet. We're still just the Toadstool.
Yep, the evil Smithy gang have taken him, and you'll be surprised how Bowser works into this. It's not what you think. He's not your big bad necessarily. Sometimes enemies make good. What's it called? What's the old phrase?
Your enemy mine is your enemy.
Your enemy is my, you're my friend because our enemy is the same or something. Something like that.
We were just talking earlier about how with age comes wisdom. It also comes with memory loss.
Yeah, memory loss also comes. Age comes with memory loss. Anyway, it is this interesting presentation. It's all pre-rendered graphics, kind of, I don't know, Donkey Kong Country is probably a good example, except it's a very different game than that, obviously, but it's pre-rendered sprites, right?
The pre-rendered sprites, exactly. So it was rendered on those Silicon Graphics machines, just like Donkey Kong Country. And so they Square decided to go this route instead of their typical Final Fantasy more top-down. So this was... cutting all kinds of new ground.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the Square thing, because this is a Square joint. This is the Final Fantasy people making this game, and they worked alongside Miyamoto to kind of get everything the way Nintendo wants things. But the end result is what I still consider to be still maybe my favorite Square RPG, And that says something, because there's a ton of those, and there's lots of good ones. Final Fantasy VI might beat it. And the look and the
Final
look
Fantasy
and the vibe
VI
of seven.
In the US or the Japanese version?
The six is the, well, hold on. What are they?
I think they're three off. I think Final Fantasy III was in US was Final Fantasy VI in Japan. I think
I think
they eventually merged stuff eventually, but
yeah, now you can buy the pixel remasters are just called, it's just called six. So you can just play that now.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's hard for me to pick a favorite, but I think that this might be up there, if not my absolute favorite. And there's a few reasons why. Mm-hmm. I like turn-based combat anyway. I'm sort of a fan of that to begin with. And the game features some really fun, nuanced gameplay that kind of got introduced here. Like the concept of not only are you fighting and using an ability to attack a creature, you're also trying to time that fight or those hits in such a way that you will get additional damage or additional healing or additional blocking. Mm-hmm. And it would set the stage for all kinds of RPGs in the future using some of those systems, including Paper Mario, a game that came, you know, down the pipe later that was, you know, inspired a lot by this. It's such a great game.
It was supposed to be the sequel to this, from what I learned. I did not know this before this week, though. But Paper Mario was supposed to be the sequel. To Legend of the Seven Stars, which I could see that once I started doing, because I kind of always wanted to play Paper Mario. I've never actually played more than a few minutes of it either. I've only ever played just a little bit of Mario RPG until this week, because I was an RPG fan, and not many of us were in the U.S. at the time. Not saying it wasn't. There was a lot fewer. There's way more RPG.
No, it's exploded since, but yeah.
In the U.S.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a testament to that they even remade the thing. You know,
yeah,
because they know that, you know, there's an audience and Square, an appetite.
Right. Square believed that they could break into the U.S. market because Nintendo was already finally doing. They had turned it around. So the SNES around 96 or so, this is late in life for this thing, was starting to take over the Sega Genesis. We were looking at another console generation coming any second now, but finally the systems were inexpensive enough for the SNES that people were picking them up. And this was a late in life game, and it was running off, I forget what chip it was, but there was a chip in the cart that made this basically run four times faster than
I didn't know that. It wasn't the FX chip. Yeah. It was something else, right?
No, it was something else, because it really runs smooth, man. Mm-hmm. This is a really good looking game as far as this era goes. When I say it's good looking, I had to turn the scan lines and stuff on this one to really enjoy it. Because
yes,
it's
ugly without the scan lines. I completely agree. Yeah. If you don't have CRT looking scan lines filter on this thing, you're going to see a muddier experience. It looks so much better on a CRT monitor.
Yeah. The raw data of the graphics is too sharp and pixelated. And when you get that, you can see all the dithering that should be hidden by the scan lines that kind of like blur all that stuff.
Yeah, they're like bad JPEGs that have been poorly photoshopped. Ooh. Or whatever. If you're not careful, that's absolutely true, and that was true in my experience since that the pre-rendered graphical take that they got into there late in the system's age or whatever, or later on in the age of the system. That would include things like Donkey Kong Country. I did this a few times on the Game Boy Advance as well, with games like Super Mario Golf, Advanced Tournament or whatever it's called. Those games all look like shiz if you take away scan lines. And it's unfortunate because there's lots of pixelated stuff on these systems and from that era that look fine or even great without the scan lines. It's just this pre-rendered thing did not age well.
It did not look good. I remember seeing, I think I have a vivid memory, and maybe it's just a fake memory, but I swear I remember going into Walmart and they had those CRTs mounted above the game cases and stuff. And I remember going in and seeing Donkey Kong Country and my mind was blown. Yeah. I mean, because it was so different than everything else. I'm like, oh my God, that looks fantastic. But I would not have said that if I hadn't had the scan lines.
Yeah, no, exactly. It looked amazing for its time. This is what kept the SNES going while, well into the PlayStation era. People are still using their Super Nintendos because they were doing some cool stuff with this technique, but it just didn't, it didn't keep pace with where displays were headed. At all. So it's fine. Thankfully, when we emulate, or even when we do stuff with the classic systems, those let you add these lines for displays that don't have them. Yeah. These shaders are common now, so you can see it in the way it was originally intended to be. But if you're
matter of fact, they've gotten so excited with the shaders, now there's too many options, and half the time I spend way too much time just messing around with every possible shader I can, just so I can make Mallow, so I can see Mallow's tears in this Mario RPG whenever, you know, he's like, I'm a frog. And it's like, dude, you're obviously not a tadpole. You're obviously some kind of vampire cloud thing. You control the weather. What are you talking about, Mallow? Your name is Mallow, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you're part of a, you're just missing the marsh to be the full-on marshmallow. Yeah, right? I, there's some weird characters in this. The one thing that threw me, I remember in 96, was not feeling like I knew who these characters were. Like
you didn't, because they hadn't been any, well, you know, the mainline guys were there, but you got past them pretty quick, and all of a sudden Mallow comes along and who dis?
Yeah, who dis? New character, who dis? Yeah, there's a lot of that in this game, and it's fine though. You get over it. You don't see a lot of those characters show up in games down the road though. It's not like they
Does Geno ever show up? So our two big playable characters get to play Mario right away, but it's like any good RPG with a good battle system. You're gonna have partners, and you're gonna switch out, and you gotta consider, you know, status effects and everything else. And each one of them has their own special moves, and so you get Mallow, Geno, who is a god imbued wooden puppet, I believe. Princess Peach, Princess Toadstool, even Bowser comes along for the ride and uses their own special abilities. But Geno and Mallow, I don't think you ever see those guys again anywhere else, as far as I know.
Nope, I don't think so. No Smash Brothers, no Mario Kart. I'm looking right now at the new game, just to give people some comparison, and it is strikingly visually changed over its original, as you would expect in 2023. This game just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, it's very good. The reception has been awesome. At its core, though, they didn't change much. Like in the gameplay and the pacing and the story, it is what you played back then. If you already played it, if you want to play it again with a very, very fancy graphical upgrade, then
I mean, same stuff. You got your. I guess you can use your analog stick like a D-pad, but you can use your four face buttons, because that's all you really used to choose, you know, either your defense, your weapon, your special move. What was the other thing? What was the other thing?
I don't remember.
I've been doing muscle memory all week, and now I've totally forgotten. Look at these mushroom goombas. Look at this thing.
Yeah, dude, the mushroom goombas.
Got some wizard turtles.
I want to make a mushroom and Swiss burger out of those guys. Little bastards.
Smear it with a little Mallow.
Yeah, a little bit of Mallow in there. Why not?
Yeah, but Geno. Yeah.
It's
Geno, go get me a Goomba and Mallow sandwich. Thanks, man.
So, chat, here's the difference. Here's new, here's old. I mean, it is pretty new, striking. Old.
Yeah.
Not saying, you know, we're a retro show. We like retro stuff, but I got to admit, this is a very pretty game, this new one.
Yeah. And Link's Awakening had a retro gaming feel, but a really modern look, and it was very fun. And so I went back and I played the original after I played the remake, and it was enjoyable both ways. Just one had a graphical improvement, but the gameplay felt the same. The music pretty much felt the same. I had the same emotions. The story was the same. By the way, this story, pretty thin, but a lot of fun. And I feel like we got to talk about a guy we haven't talked about since our Secret of Mana episode. We got a localization by Ted Woosley.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I do remember that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So we get a localization. So he did a good bit of Square translations or localizations in this case, which I think is much more fair to call a localization, because he takes there's a lot of inside jokes and, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on humor wise in Super Mario RPG. And Ted Woosley finds a way to localize that to an American audience without making it any more weird, mm-hmm. but just as quirky, but just as relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quirky because there's weird, you know, what is it? Japanese English or whatever it is. It's because
right. Well, a lot of times mistranslation is quirky, but you're right. The characters are just genuinely quirky. And that would carry on. Like the Paper Mario series, pretty much all the way through, the Mario and Luigi Super Saga stuff, which are all kind of children of this game in terms of its gameplay and how they worked in turn-based and all that. They all have this wicked sense of humor that most of the other Mario games and other sideline Mario stuff does not have. Yeah. They're not funny, generally speaking.
No.
But this line of games, starting with this one and moving forward, they're funny as hell. There's great dialogue in here, you know?
Yeah, you better find some humor because, I mean, the story is, you know, first you're fighting Bowser again because he's still in, you know, he's still in the princess again. And so the Smithy gang, who is apparently a rogue gang of weapons traveling the multiverse and have crashed through Star Road, which is where wishes are granted, Scott.
And
so no wishes can be granted during this period. That's why Mallow's so sad. He's so sad.
Oh, he's so sad. He's the
so sad for many reasons.
Yeah, he's very, very sad.
He's very sad.
But working alongside Bowser is a weird feeling. I remember in 96 going, well, this, how can this be? You can't,
right.
You can't fight alongside Bowser at some stage of this game. Sure enough, he did, and it was great. It's the best Bowser in the game, the best Bowser we've ever had.
Yeah. Not the one we deserved, but the one we got.
It's the one we got. There are many Bowsers like him, but this one is ours. All that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, all that stuff.
And as usual, you're collecting star pieces and, you know, a lot of the Mario-isms are there, including a ton of sort of pseudo platforming. I wouldn't call it like straight. It's not straight Mario platforming by any stretch.
No, it's just there's a mini game where you got some side scrolling. I watched that. I didn't actually get to it. But otherwise, you're right. It's all he's running and jumping through what essentially is the overworld before you get into battles.
Yep.
By the way, there's no, they say, I hear people say this all the time about this game, and I'm like, I disagree. There's no random encounter battles like, you know, in a lot of other games like Pokemon, different RPGs, you would run into something and it'd be like, oh no, time to fight.
Yeah, just for the hell of it. You're just running through. Think of Final Fantasy, most of those games where you're running through the forest and going, and then you have your fight. I hated that. I was not a fan of that. Never was a fan of that. Still not really a fan of that. I can get by though now. It's fine. I can get
primarily like Mystic Quest, which is one we had talked about, Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. You can for the most part walk around. You see the enemies on screen that represent the possible battles and you can just walk around them. But occasionally, and it always scares the crap out of me, you'll be walking along, it's like, okay, I avoided that guy, and then suddenly one just come flying out off the screen like 100 miles per hour and he runs into you.
Yeah,
and guess what,
it guarantees a fight. Yeah,
that's pretty random.
This is they don't have this music, but remember this. I mean, that was from 7, but
the
idea is that you can, it's not that you want to avoid encounters. It's just that you get to choose which ones and when. Yeah, and I like that. I like that a lot. I prefer it over the other way. And when Pokemon even is like strayed from this a little bit, which they did in a couple of titles, those are my favorites.
Yeah.
I like to feel like I'm in control and I'm not getting ganked everywhere I go.
Right.
I
get to choose because like I may see, like I may want to forward the story because that's what she's doing. They're leading you by the nose, kind of. Everything is pretty much linear of how you're trying to get from point to point.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's like, oh, I just want to get to the next thing. I don't want to fight right now. I'm not interested in leveling up my character. I haven't gotten any companions yet. And I just want to get to the next point. So you get to make those choices. By the way, the composer, Yoko Shimomura, is that right?
That's
Shimomura,
correct.
Something like that.
I think you said it right.
Oh, so good. It just takes all the stuff from Nintendo and some of the stuff from Square and just mixes it up nice and just serves it hot.
Yeah, hot. Listen to this stuff, man. Like, here's a little bit. Oh, man. I think it's one of the best soundtracks of the SNES era. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't have any complaints about it. The new one is very good. It's all remasters and redos right. of the music, and all very true to that stuff. So if you're getting the new one, you'll know you have that to look forward to. But if you like video game music, and especially 16-bit era stuff, this is like top shelf. It's all very good.
Yeah, you could go to sleep with this, right, Scott?
Hell yeah. You guys missed it in our pre-show Patreon-only content, but I can now sleep better because I listen to 8-bit and 16-bit chip tunes at night. And I think that's weird. If you're home going, Scott, that's weird. I agree. It is weird.
It's weird.
I shouldn't be able to sleep better on that.
No.
Makes no sense. I should dream right about, now, you know, King Koopa and bullshit like that.
Right now, Team Mario, Princess Not Peach, and Bowser are going up against the Shark King.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Bowser's throwing some chomp chains. By the way, that was weird how this game really is good at introducing new RPG. If you've never played an RPG, man, Mario RPG, Super Mario RPG, great place to start, because they lead you ever so gently from, you know, the action platforming you're expecting, and they say, oh no, you just jumped on this this character, but now you're in a battle, and in order to fight this guy, you gotta do ABC, whatever, you know, ABXY, and then when you get to fight Bowser right there at the beginning, you're fighting him, but then you find out, oh, you got to select the chain. You're not the chomp chain, not the Bowser. That's how you're going to get through this. That's how you're going to beat him. You know, Mario can't go head to head with the first out of the gate.
No.
Can't have that.
No.
You can't have knock that. His chain.
Yeah, I agree. You can't knock his chain. Check this out, though. In Japan, this ended up being the third largest selling or the third most highest selling game of that year of 96.
Nice.
Did not surprise anybody that did that well. 1.47 million copies. In the US, they had lower expectations, so they still brought it here. 300,000 were sold through in the first month or so. And by August of that year, it was the most rented game in the US for about 14 weeks straight. And then became, at the end of the day, sixth best selling game of 1996. Now, that's not like insane. Yeah. But it's pretty good, and it also represents the last game that Square made for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System ever.
Because they were off to see Sony. It's like, hey, Nintendo, we've had a great relationship. We love working with you, but your carts, they're killing us, man. We need to have some more. We need more expressive ways to express ourselves. And they knew Nintendo wasn't going to do that. Nintendo was definitely staying in the carts. Yeah. But, you know, the longer I look back and the more I look at things like Super Mario RPG, it really fits in more, because a lot of times I'm very jaded about it. I'm like, Nintendo wouldn't come off those stupid carts because they wanted to control everything. But there was also something else going on there. Whenever they released a console, they tried to make it as inexpensive as possible and release as many good quality titles as they could. So that was kind of like their motivation for what they were usually putting
out. Well, there's a whole other part of it too. Nintendo hated load times. They couldn't stand what the first generation of optical discs were doing. Too slow for them.
Load times.
Yeah, they were pissed. They're like, you know what? F that. N64 is going to have a cartridge in it. It'll have 64-bit sound, so you won't know the difference between that and CD quality music, which isn't true, but they still said it.
Right.
And those, and they're right. Like you waited for a lot of load screens on your PlayStation 1. You did. Whether you liked it or not, you freaking did. And if you played an N64 cart, you were getting into the action right away. Boom, bam, boom.
Yep.
So as much as I think they're stubborn sometimes and weird and controlling and all that, I think in retrospect, I think I respect the decision to go carts.
Something that I did not think about at the time is, so this also had the ability to run really well late in life, not necessarily because the developers got really good at developing for the system, but because they were able to put CPUs on these carts. They were able to extend the life of the system through the game, so they're able to pass on a small upgrade cost to the games themselves, instead of having to, you know, release something like a 32X for the Sega, you know, for the Sega Genesis or something, something crazy. So when I look back, I'm like, oh, you know what? Intentionally or unintentionally, that's still not a bad idea. And it's still a really smart economy that they work.
But also everybody ended up doing what they're doing now, just in different ways.
Yeah.
So when you go buy yourself a brand new PlayStation 5 or a Series X from Xbox or whatever, you may decide that you want to be a physical media guy and buy discs. Okay, fine. But guess what? They're not, most of those games are not running off of that disc. They're installing to hard drives, which are great big cartridges, and and kind of doing the Nintendo way after all. It's just a it's slightly different path to get there. But their idea of, well, RAM can only hold so much and load times suck and all that. They were right about it. I hate to say it, but they were right. And we were all mad then because we wanted what was new. And optical discs seemed like that was what was new. But I think in retrospect, they were like, this is not as good of an experience and too many moving parts. And you're going to bring this thing in to get fixed all the time, which I did three times with my PlayStation.
And we don't want that. We don't want to see you. We don't want to see you ever, says Nintendo.
I don't want to go in there. They don't want to see you. They want to see our money and then see us leave. You know,
right. You want to see, the back of your head. Bye now, bye now.
This game inspired a lot of stuff. Like I mentioned, there's a whole string of games we could talk about, but one in particular, I'm going to skip around here a little bit and come back to Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, but Paper Mario in 2001, is the most direct sort of, hey, what's next for this kind of idea sort of game. And I cannot say enough things about Paper Mario or, the one called, what was the mirror one? Shoot. I forgot the name.
Paper Imagine Mario. It was on the
GameCube.
It was...
Thousand Year Door.
Ah, yes. I always love these games and their subtitles.
I know.
We were saying Super Mario RPG, but it's technically Super Mario RPG : Legend of the Seven Stars, which is how many stars that fell into the kingdom for you to collect to restore order.
Something like that. It's all dumb. Yeah. The stories are dumb, trust me. But the overarching points of
you
the story.
You can't say
dumb.
Stories are dumb. What's wrong with a bunch of sentient weapons coming down to rule the world?
Nothing. That's... I don't want my Mario games to be too complex in their story. So I'm actually for this. This is a positive for me. Keep them simple. Keep them, fun and whimsical. Yeah. And
I want Mario going, woohoo. I don't want to say anything else. That's it.
That's just woohoo and that's it. All right.
Yeah, that's it. Woohoo and off.
Woohoo and I'm out. But Paper Mario is still an amazing playthrough. I think Thousand Year Door in particular on the GameCube was one of my favorite top GameCube games for that whole run. And if you get a chance to play those, you should, because they have the spirit of Super Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. They have, the presentation of more modern games, and they're just so delightful, dude. They're so good.
So delightful.
I want to play Thousand Year Door right now. I haven't played that since launch, and I would love to play that. I'm sure that's easy to play, actually. Dolphin plays that pretty well.
Yeah. Did he ever? Okay. So there was a little bit of contention between Nintendo and Square, specifically Miyamoto. The first couple of things that Square pitched were like, hey, we're going to have Mario in Fantasyland. He's going to be riding a horse and have a sword. And Miyamoto's like, ha ha, no. He's a plumber. We've worked really hard to build this world that is the Mario world. He can use a hammer.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Cool. And I like the fact that he does that. As a matter of fact, there's we've talked about Miyamoto before, and it's like he's just the greatest, right?
But oh, he is. Everyone loves him.
I do think he has this sense of telling stories about how history, rewriting history just a little bit, because I was doing my research about this, they said that there was that Square and Miyamoto, they were all at I forget which convention it was, but this is how much credence I put into what he was saying, because I was like, that's bullshit. And they had some audiences there that had they were asking them what they wanted to see Mario do, if they for people to cheer for somebody, everybody cheer who wants Mario with a sword and a shield.
Yeah.
A couple of guys. We got other options. And then he says, and it's like, who wants to see him with the hammer and jumping? And everybody screamed, yay. And that's how they decided it.
It seems like he may have augmented that story just a tiny bit.
But that's okay, because I love the fact that he continues to be a storyteller even outside.
when he's just telling you how a game got made. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this. So I'm showing video right now of Thousand Year Door. It still looks like you could play this right now. I mean, look at it. Look at this little papery Mario looking dude. Look at him, the way he turns.
Yeah.
Oh, shit on me, dude. Shit on me. This looks so good. I'm gonna go. That is my goal this weekend. I'm gonna get this up and running on my deck. That's what I'm gonna do. Because right. I'm in the mood now. Like, as much as I love Super Mario RPG,
get your barbecue out and get that thing running on the deck.
Yeah, yes. I'm gonna get that out on the new deck and see what I can do. It's snowing. I can't do that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, that's worth checking out. Now, you mentioned Final Fantasy Mythic Quest from 92.
Yeah, Mythic Quest, yeah.
That thing sounded like something a little bit different. Let me play some of that here. That sounded like this. I mean, if that's not a Square game, I'll eat my shorts. Like, everything about that sounds like it. But in a lot of ways, this game... Similar ideas. It's later. Yeah. Or no, it's earlier, 92. It's
earlier. This was their first attempt to break into the U.S. market. So it was like, hey, these Americans, they're not biting on our hardcore RPG. They don't like it. And so this was kind of their first attempt at making it more friendly. Yeah. And so it did okay. It was also a SNES release early in life of the SNES.
And then same year, first year or the year it was released, I think it was same year.
Yeah. So they didn't give up. They just kept hanging around and said, finally, at the end of life, they said, hey, how about we use Mario? Thanks, man.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. I mean, I kind of want to go back and play this. I haven't played this.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
I dabbled.
Did it feel a little Zelda-y or like what was
your more Zelda-like? Yeah. Okay. It wasn't quite here nor there. It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, again, when you make these attempts to cross the ocean and cross cultures, it's always a little mixed, right? Because you got to make concessions. Yeah. It's nice today because you don't really have to. It's all the same global release. And I don't know why we were so hung up about that stuff. Like, had to name things different because it was a different place. Why is it the Mega Drive in Europe and the Genesis here? There's stories, but, you know, would they never do that now?
No.
You'd never go, oh, it's not the PlayStation in Europe. It's called the button-pushing monster picker. Like, why? Like, why?
I think it's a really interesting time because, trying to figure out how to sell to a foreign... It's real easy to, like, tell modern stories that are very simplified when you're telling it to the people that you're, that you live around. Like, if I make an American story, we're going to make fairy tales, right? That's what you do. You tap into the long European tale of fairy tales. Easy enough.
Yep.
Go for it.
Yep.
But then if you're in Japan, you've got a totally different set of stories. I mean, we're familiar with Godzilla over here, right? We know that, but, not to the degree that they do.
Well, they did. Like, now I think we are. Like, I feel like, like, for example, the latest Godzilla movie, which is getting rave reviews, like 99% of Rotten Tomatoes. Sounds like an incredible film and maybe the best Godzilla movie since the original in the 50s. Right. And it's a worldwide release. Like, I go right now and find me a theater and see it if I want to. It just didn't used to happen that way,
No,
we're such a much more of a microcosm. Everyone watches anime over here. Everybody.
The internet ruined everything.
The internet
ruined
everything. Or made it great. It depends on your opinion.
Now we've all had a taste of everything. Oh, my God.
I like how you're doing it like this. That voice. Perfect for that. Do that.
You got
voice.
Your RPG and my action platformer. How will I live?
But you successfully did. I like it. It's a great game. Go check it out. It's Super Mario RPG, available brand new on the Switch, or you can go find an old one. and play
it.
Yes. And it's still
I played it on my classic. I enjoyed it playing on the classic.
Oh, the classic, easy. The classic version, actually real snappy. It's real good.
Yeah, yeah. The mini classic, the SNES mini.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I played that. Yeah, that's the one I got the partial playthrough, I think.
Yeah.
And I should go back to it. If I could find my place, or if I could find my SNES classic, somebody took it or moved it.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. That's yours. But somewhere in this house is my classic, and I can't find it.
And I'm saying it. I'm mad. I'm mad. Exterminate.
Oh. Always comes back to those damn robots. All right. That brings us to the part of the show where we like to play a little game with each other. We play some audio and try to guess what that audio is. It's called Guess My Game.
Destroy it.
That's the sound effect for it. So we're going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to start with a GameCube game from 2003. All right. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I will tell you this. This is not Mario related. So I didn't want you to think that I was going to cheat and do like, oh, and this is Thousand Year Door, you know, something like that. I'm not doing that.
Right.
This is something from the GameCube 2003, Brian. Here's your audio.
Joe, is this your idea of a date movie? I had a more romantic time eating popcorn in the lobby. Joe, honey, why don't you show me some off-screen action?
Whoa, Sylvia, cut it out. I said cut it out. They don't show these old movies all the time, you know. I've been looking forward to this forever.
Well, I've been looking forward to this for a long time, too.
All right, any ideas from that intro? This is the sound of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know this one. This is that weird,
Do you have any questions first, or you want to go for it?
Yeah. So GameCube, was this a series? I can't remember. There were two of them. Okay, I thought so. Yeah.
I don't think there was ever more than that. There may have been re-releases, but never more than two.
Right. So that's why I was trying to figure out which one. You said the GameCube, though. I was trying to figure out which one.
So that was your first question, and the answer is yes.
Right. All right.
Or the answer is two, I guess.
Right. Is side-scrolling?
Yes.
Side-scrolling, okay.
Yes. And I will add to that 2.5D side scrolling.
Right, because it's GameCube. They started doing that. Yeah. Right. Is this your idea of a date movie? I love that it's played over again.
She's horny, dude. She's ready to rock. She wants to make out on the floor of the freaking sticky.
Yeah. I want to say I played this earlier this year, and it is. I got one more question, right? Because I want to give everybody enough time to try to guess it.
You have two more. So,
I have two more. Yeah. Oh wow!
You've only asked if there were more than one.
Is his name Joe?
Yes. Yes. The protagonist of this game is named Joe. As
yeah, it's a beat 'em up. So it's got to be one of our favorite beat 'em up makers, right? Is it made by Capcom?
It is indeed made by Capcom. That is correct.
All right.
I think you're going to get this.
All right. Is it Beautiful Joe?
You are absolutely 100%. Just kidding. You are correct.
It's not that other Joe game, is it? It's not the GameCube.
Okay. You are correct. You got it. That is Beautiful Joe. And Beautiful Joe I haven't played in ages, but I remember really liking it at the time. I looked at some video when I was capturing this audio, and I think I've decided that maybe it was okay. I don't know that it was great.
It has a lot more attitude. It made a lot more sense in the context of the year that it was out, right?
Yeah. We're 20 years on. We were still hanging on to a couple of 90s ideas.
20 years?
Yeah, 20 years today. Well, not today.
That's right, 2003.
Just a little more than 20 years. But there you go. You did it, dude. You got a point today.
You did it.
Now I'm scared. Tell me about my.
Oh, yes. So I finally found it.
And by the way, a whole bunch of people in the chat got it too. So you were in good company. They all got it.
All right, good. Yeah. Good company. Till the day you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, till the day I die. That's right. So here is.
Yeah.
I totally forgot what I had done. This is PC 1995, so I'm going back a little bit.
Okay. PC 95. Here goes. Mm-hmm. There's a bug involved somehow.
I'll see you again next week for my usual special.
Okay. Oh, I kind of hate it so far. Is that guy throwing up?
Ew. I'll give you this too. It was DOS. Okay. It was at 95 and it was DOS.
Hi,
it wasn't even on the Windows.
Where you going? See you soon.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what this is. All right, let's hear this next chunk of audio. Ugh, I hate that sound.
Get off. Leave me alone. Damnation if you don't clear out, so help me, I'll... Oh, just bugger off.
I am so stumped. All right. Mm-hmm. Is it a point-and-click adventure game?
It is a point-and-click adventure game. Correct.
Okay.
Which you would guess with all that audio, right?
Yeah, it just sounds like the kind of story, like, it feels like that kind of game. So that makes sense. My second question, is this a game we have covered or a series or game we have covered here on the show?
No, I don't believe we ever talked about this one.
All right, that takes out King's Quest then. Is this a LucasArts joint? That's my third question.
But it was a Psygnosis release thing.
Psygnosis.
Published. Psygnosis. How you say? I've seen it a million times. The owl.
Yeah, the owl. They were famous on the PlayStation for Wipeout, Wipeout XL, and that space fighting game, Colony Wars.
I love
those games.
That's right.
Psygnosis? What did they publish on DOS? I mean, they weren't yet a Sony company. Sony bought them out pretty quick. Shit. If it's not Space Quest or King's Quest, it can't be Space Quest because that's Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
It can't, and if it's not any of the stuff LucasArts did, who else was doing these? Oh my gosh, Brian, I don't know. I'm going to have to make a guess.
Nobody in the chat room has got it so far either.
Yeah. No one in the chat has it? Mm. I haven't even looked. I'll look and see.
No.
Well, if they don't have it, why am I looking? I mean, all the Quest games are Sierra. So it wouldn't be Police Quest. It wouldn't be... Plus, there's a fly and a British dude. Those aren't... I'll see you again next week. I give up. I have no idea.
All right. Do it. All right.
What
How
is
about
it?
Terry Pratchett's novels of the same name, Discworld?
Whoops, wrong button. No, wrong button again. Where is it? No, this. No. I lost.
Ba-da-bum.
I lost. That's terrible. Was Discworld fun? How was that?
It was weird. How's that?
That makes sense because that's a British... He's a British author. That's a British success story. And Psygnosis was a British developer and publisher.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it did much better there than it did here.
Did anyone... someone in the chat got it. Graham Ellis. Nice
coffee?
Job.
Oh, Graham. Oh, did you get it? Okay, let's see.
I think he got it late.
Okay.
In the thing. But Graham, how... I'd ask you, too. Have you played this before? Was it fun?
I'm looking at Twitch.
You're what? You where?
I'm looking on Twitch chat. That's the reason why.
That's why. I have both. I can see.
Yeah.
Well, no, you should see him in there too, though, because I have it. I have the two chats combined, so you should see. Mm. Unless you block the bot or something.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, you guys on Twitch, you can see the YouTube people, right? Best chat says Trench Wildfire. Nice dude. We're not looking for a fight here. We're not doing Coke and Pepsi. We're just saying. No, really. Oh, Restream bot is broken. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I can see all of you. You can't see each other. That's a bummer. Okay, well, I have to dink with it.
Dinky.
Anyway, congratulations. You won today. And more importantly, I'm curious about what that looked like. I want to look up Discworld. Hold on. I've never read the books either. Always meant to get into that. Amy Robinson in our community is always She knows the perfect place to start and stop.
Amy loves it.
Let's see. Disc World Long Play. Oh, and there was a sequel? I don't know any of this stuff. Okay, there it is. Psygnosis. Holy crap. Oh, I have a vague memory of seeing this. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I think I saw this in the day, but I didn't know what I was looking at.
Yes.
It was about the time I was moving past Point and Click Adventures, I think.
Yes.
Which was about this time, yeah. Well, anyway, there's that. Nicely done. Well done, Brian. You win the week. You did it.
All right. Yes.
All right. We're doing emails. We're doing email. This is playretroshow at gmail.com is where it showed up. If you want to send us texts or voicemails, you can keep doing those as well. 801-471-0462. Here's your email. Stealth Dave wrote in and said, hello, Scott and Brian. When you get to your planned Karateka episode, we will be doing that.
We will.
You should check out a fun Easter egg that the developers added to the Apple II version. When you put in your floppy disk in the drive, on the reverse, you can play the entire game upside down. Apparently, the Apple II's sequential graphics memory made this trick fairly trivial to implement. Broderbund support would get regular calls asking why the graphics were upside down, and the customer was asked to turn the disc over and reboot. Wow. I remember discovering this Easter egg as a teen and completed the entire game this way, says Stealth Dave. Oh. So it sounds like almost like a mistake. It's not really an Easter egg, but it's a goof or a side effect of the way that those discs were read. Right. And the way that they were displayed, but I didn't know this was a thing ever. I'd never heard of this. And I played Karateka till my eyes bled, so I don't know how I missed
this. I love that game. I live that game.
Yeah. Do you ever play it upside down then? Do you ever do that?
I never play it upside down because I'm not a moron.
No. No. Why would you be? Right? I'm gonna look it up. Upside down. This is a very common search result.
Upside down.
Oh yeah, there it is. They say Easter egg, but I still don't know if I'd say it's an Easter egg. It's just kinda the way. I bet other games would do the same thing because you flip the disc around. Let's see. There it is. I couldn't do it.
No.
No, because you're moving. Instead of you moving. Hold on.
Yeah. I couldn't do it backwards. There's no way. It would be pointless.
Yeah. F this. This is a bad idea. Although I'm impressed that you did this as a kid, Dave, but I can't do it.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
No, hell no. I ain't doing this ever. Anyway, we will be getting to Karateka at some point. We know Brian likes that game so much that he writes poetry to it at night.
I do. I did at night. That's what I listen to when I go to sleep.
Yeah, that's what puts Brian to bed. Our next discussion, by the way, is going to be a very interesting one. And it's funny that you said Brian suggested this today, and I agreed to it wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was watching YouTube or something earlier, and there was a clip from the new Tetris movie or the newish Tetris movie about the beginnings of Tetris. And them showing off or unveiling the Game Boy for the first time in that movie's, there's a scene in there.
Oh, yes.
And you said, hey, should we do the 25 years after Game Boy Color launched Christmas 98? Sure.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm excited.
I'm in. Let's talk about the, I don't know, top three or five Game Boy Color games. What it took to get a color version of that damn thing. Why I spent hours in the bathroom at the office I worked at playing Mario Golf on it. And how my legs would go numb before I'd finally get up. That was my favorite device. I loved it.
Right. And all those, amazing, color palettes that are built in. If you already had a Game Boy,
yep.
You just plugged them right in there and you had the colored palettes on it. That was just so cool. That blew my mind. It also was the year that Andrew, my oldest son, was born. And so it was the first time I had to say no to my heart's desire of electronics, instead focus on my child. So later on, when they went on super sale a couple of years after that, I bought all the things and all the accessories, the worm light, all the stuff.
Yeah,
I had the big stack.
Oh yeah, this thing was not backlit.
No, it was not backlit. This was this was like the Game Boy had been out for almost 10 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, we need to do something. We're not ready with that, with that advanced thing yet. So let's Game Boy Color. Sounds good. Let's do it. Let's get it out there.
And well,
so
even the advanced didn't have color. It didn't have light until the SP. So
Right.
Nintendo was late to the backlit game.
Well, it made sense because backlighting costs a lot of battery. And that was one of the biggest problems with all the rest of the handhelds. That was like the number one thing that people hated about all the rest of the handhelds was the battery life.
Yeah. You play the Game Gear and you're like, why did these 16D batteries I have in here last 20 minutes? What happened?
And Nintendo was like, bring your own lights.
Yeah.
Bring your own stupid lights.
We've come a long way, man. Long way. But anyway, we're going to do that next week because it was a Christmas product that year. Your kid was born. Mine was just about a year old. What a time to live.
What a time. What a world. What a world. Game Boy Color, 25 years old. 25 years fun.
Yeah, 25 years young. Wait, what?
Right. All right. Fun.
Don't forget, while we meet you next time and have this little space between us for about a week, for about 7 days, it's a great time for you to head on over to patreon.com/playretro and support your favorite show. Like brand new folks like Casey Butler, Brian Gatley, Hayes Skunk.
Ooh.
I can't explain that.
And it's Hayes, like H-A-Z-E. Ooh.
Yeah, H-A-Z. It's kind of edgy.
Like a haze of a skunk.
Yeah, it's
skunk haze.
I like it. I don't want to be around him in a closed environment, but I think he's probably a nice guy. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, you guys are awesome for supporting us and everyone else over there. And if you want to be like them and get no commercials ever, pre-show content every week and monthly benefits that can be yours today, sign up on the 1st of December. That's today. Sign up today. Yep, patreon.com/playretro. Perfect time to hop in. And don't forget to contact us. Give us your emails and all that stuff. playretroshow@gmail.com. And again, 801-471-0462 for texts and voicemails. And if you're just like, where's the website so I can find all this in one place? Here's the easy answer. frogpants.com/playretro. Hey, Brian, is there anything you'd like to say before we get out of here?
Absolutely. I'd like to hear about our listeners' grown-up retro gamer Christmas wish list. Whoa. So let us know either like on playretroshow@gmail.com, on playretroshow on Twitter, on the Discord server. Any way you want to get it to us, let us know what your Christmas list is for retro gaming this year.
Yeah. Give us some ideas. I need to know what I need people to give me, you know?
I know. I need to be. I got a wish list to fill out, and I'm all out of ideas.
I'm all out of ideas.
The new RG 35XX with the Wi-Fi is pretty enticing. I just don't think I can get it here in time for, but that's the one I want. That's what I want.
That's also the one I want. But anyway, let us know what you think. And that's going to do it. Go play something retro between now and then, and we'll see you.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Coupon Kinski!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.